Alright, so I'm in Costa Rica, we're on a medical mission trip, and I'm, you know, waiting for the next person to come downstairs after seeing the doctor. And the person comes down, they get seated with where we're going to share with them, and the translator for the doctor stops me and says, "Hey, Tony, I just want to let you know one thing. This guy is a Colombian sicario, and he's killed lots of people. And he's a diagnosed psychopath, and he's been off of his medicines for 3 days, so be careful what you say." And I'm thinking, okay. And she says, "Oh, you know something about psychology, it's okay." So, "Then why did you just say that to me?" So I go over and I bring the guy over and I sit down with the translator, with another translator, and I start to talk to him and just find out something about himself. "How are you? We're so glad you were able to see the doctors today. You know, they'll be able to help you to feel better. And so, you know, just tell me a little bit about your story." And he says, "You know, well, I've killed a lot of people." I'm like, okay, that's a good start for a conversation. Where's this going? And so we just kind of went along a little bit, and he started telling me more about his story and about different things. And he got more and more nervous. He was wringing his hands, and it was like his muscles were all tense, and he was getting wringing his hands. And so I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's going to have a psychotic break here, and, you know, I'm responsible for all these people in this building. They're my responsibility as a team leader for this mission trip. So I'm thinking, okay, how do you get him out of the building? That's the first thing we should do, is we should get this guy out of the building. "You know what? Can I just pray for you and just have you leave?" And just as I was about to say that, God said, "Tell him I love him." I'm like, "Oh, right. Let's go through it." And so I began to say, "Jesus loves you. And he wants a relationship with you. And there's nothing that you have done that one drop of his blood can't pay the price for." And this man broke down, and his heart just softened. And he asked Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior. And he accepted God's forgiveness. And afterward, he hugged me. And I saw him the next day, and he just was a totally different person. His whole personality was different. There's a picture of him. I still don't know how to take selfies. Nick always gives me a hard time. So we're in the middle of a series here. This is Ablaze 25. We're going through the 25 things that we think every Christian ought to know. And then as you grow in your faith, you ought to be doing, obeying. And then as you grow more into leadership, you ought to be able to teach somebody else. So know, do, teach. And so wherever you are on the spectrum with regard to forgiveness today, wherever you are in terms of how much you understand forgiveness, maybe today you need to understand a little bit better for yourself. Maybe today, you know, I kind of get it, but I probably ought to start practicing a little bit more. You know, I'm pretty good at practicing it. I'm pretty quick to forgive, but I don't know exactly how I would teach someone else. Listen to this message today from that perspective, whatever your perspective is, okay? So we've been going through this. I'll put this up somewhere on our Blaze page just so you can find it. These are the ones we're doing this semester, so you can figure out what date they were, and so you can go back and listen to them online if you missed any of the Blaze 25, because, you know, if you weren't here for that, you won't know how to know, do, or teach some of them, maybe. Okay? So that's where we are today. We're on forgiveness. This picture is this week, it's present in history, is this idea of this off-duty police officer, the blonde-haired lady here, walked into an apartment that was not her apartment. The door was open. She thought it was her apartment. She opened the door. She saw somebody sitting there in the apartment. The person got up off the couch, and she pulled her service revolver, and she shot him and killed him. I don't care what position you have about this, whether it's good, bad, indifferent, it doesn't matter. She did this. She should be held to a very high standard because she is a police officer and should be trained to know how and when to fire her firearm. But that's not the point. The point this morning is how the guy's brother responded. how the guy's brother responded. This is his brother. His brother decided that what was healthy for him and healthy for the world and healthy for this young lady was to forgive her. And to tell her that God could forgive her as well. And again, we're going to go into a little bit more depth than this, but this is just, this was going on this week. And again, there's lots of different sides to this. The other side to this is one of justice. And I want us to think about that this morning. In the judicial system, there is something that she should get justice. She should be punished for the work that, for what she did, and she should be held to an incredibly high standard because she should be trained to know when and where and how to, you know, use her firearm. But I want you to think about justice in a whole different way this morning. So I want you to think about it from a standpoint of where does forgiveness come from? And where does real justice end and begin? This is, in my belief, I think all forgiveness begins and ends at the cross. That was kind of one of those lines in that song. What is the gospel? Let's just start at the foundation of what is the gospel message about Jesus. The reality is, who in here needs forgiveness besides me? We all need forgiveness. We're all in a situation where we have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. Every single one of us have done something. What does God say justice is because you've broken one of His laws? What would be just? What do each one of us who raised their hands, what is the punishment that if we were found guilty, and we would be, that we would deserve? What? Death. That's the punishment. We deserve the death penalty. Separation from God forever. Spiritual death. That's what we deserve. Who here would like justice to prevail? None of us want justice for us. Isn't that interesting? What do we want for us? Mercy. Forgiveness and mercy. What did that young man do? He decided, wait a minute, justice is God's thing or it's the government's thing. My thing is forgiveness. That's what I'm held accountable to. And so he decided he was going to offer mercy and forgiveness. Because that's exactly what he wants in return. Because it's exactly what all of us need. So what is the gospel? I've sinned. I did something wrong. I deserve eternal death. But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to take my punishment. He died. He sacrificed. That one drop of blood that saved that Sicario also saves us. He takes our punishment. If we'll accept Him as our Lord and Savior. That's the catch. So you really have two options at this point, right? I can choose to live my own way and go and get to heaven and say, you know, God, I lived my own way. I was in charge. I was in control. And so at the end, I'm responsible for my punishment. I take my own punishment, right? That's fair. Or what? Jesus, I'll accept your taking my punishment for me. That's cool. Appreciate it. But what's the catch in the gospel? What's the catch? If He takes our punishment, if He pays for our sins, what then? We belong to Him. If He pays for you, you're His. It's really none of this, well, I prayed a prayer, and so I'm good, right? No. You have to receive Him, believe in Him. He has to be Lord. Right? Those are the two choices. There's no, well, I went to church a lot, and so I'm good, right? It's Lordship. Or it's your own ship. You pay for your own sins, or He's Lord. Those are the two choices. All right. Are you living in this forgiveness? Are you accepting this forgiveness for yourself? Are you living in it? That's what we want to see a little bit more of this morning. So where do I begin? Forgiveness is still like, what's in it for me? How do I live in this? What do I get from it? How do I participate? How do I share it? How do I extend it? What's in it for me? Where do we begin? Well, I want to begin at the retreat. We had a guy come this week with his falcon, his hawk, red-tailed hawk, and this is Utopia, right? That was the coolest picture. The hawk was in flight. This weekend was really about, the rest of the retreat part was really about this idea of being overcomers, about being people who allow the pain and hurt and trauma of our lives to grow us instead of define us. Right? I'm going to ask the speakers from last night, Walter and Megan, to come up here, because this was, why don't y'all stand over here maybe? You can just take your time. We got all morning. So last night, both of them shared situations in their lives, traumatic situations in their lives that really had affected them in a pretty hard way. And yet they also talked about how forgiveness had been a big part of their healing to become overcomers. How their ability to forgive the people who had inflicted the trauma on them was really helping them to overcome and grow. And Walter used a phrase in his time, and I'd heard that phrase from Walter before, and so I really appreciated it, but I wanted to turn it back on him this morning in public. One of the things Walter said was that the trauma that was inflicted on him, the thing that happened to him, it was that person's fault that he is the way, that he is the person that he is today. The things that he struggles with, the things that people have done to you, and the things that have happened to you in your life, they have shaped the way you are now, right? There are bad things that come from that. There are stress, anxiety, depression. There are things that shape us that are negative, caused by those experiences, right? And that's a little bit what they were sharing last night. But I want to turn this on them, because I know both of these guys pretty well, and I'm getting to spend a lot of time with them every week. And I want to tell you, praise God for the people that they have become. Amen? Anybody else know them? Know some? Because it is their fault, but it is also because of the trauma we experience that make us into the men and women that we're made into. If we'll let it grow us. If we'll let it impact us. And so I want to encourage you guys, you're awesome, and you're on an awesome trajectory. You're not perfect. You're not totally healed. You're not totally over everything. There's still work to be done, and we're working it, right? You're both working it, and you're willing to work it. But if you'll let it, and they're letting it, they're letting the things that happen in their lives make them people that God can use. So you guys can sit down and we'll clap for you. It really has been such a blessing to be able to work with people. This is Emotional Wellness Month for Ablaze. We're kind of spending a lot of time doing things, talking about how do we overcome, how do we let the tough things that we deal with cause us to be men and women who are qualified to do even cooler things in God's kingdom. And so we were looking at different genograms yesterday morning. You might want to, if you did the genograms yesterday morning, you might want to take those back to your life groups and talk about them. That might be a thing y'all could do this week to kind of help people who weren't able to come to the retreat to sort of get caught up on how our, you know, the things that happened in our lives affect us. But one of the things I noticed when I looked around at the heart charts is we have a lot of people in this church who have been through a lot of really, really tough things. Some amens? Some of you? You've been through really tough abuse, of a lot of different kinds of abuse and neglect and cut off and isolation. And there's been a lot of hard life for a lot of you. But I look at that from the other side, and I look at that and say, God is equipping you to do something supernatural that if you had just had everything go fine in your life, you probably wouldn't have been equipped for. For those of you who just finished Red Phase, Just had the march yesterday. You went through a tough 6 or 7 weeks, right? But the military is equipping you. They're preparing you to be able to do things that a normal civilian wouldn't be qualified to do, wouldn't be capable of doing. And so that's, I think that's the same thing when it comes to our walk with God. That those people who look at their trauma and look at their difficulty and look at the things that have happened to them, and they look at them as opportunities to grow, they're more qualified to do really cool missions. And that's what I think God wants for you guys. And then I'll just challenge you guys that are life group leaders, the Jeremy's and the Nick's and the Megan's and the Nick and Matt and Megan, Lyle and Angie and Desiree. I just challenge you guys. God has entrusted to you as life group leaders. And Andrea and Adrian, God has entrusted to you, and Rob, there's a lot of you. God has entrusted to you some really, really cool raw material. A lot of really, really cool people. And so I just pray that you guys would continue to help them to grow into the role, the mission that God is equipping you all for. So that's one of the parts of forgiveness, is just recognizing, wait a minute, if I can start this process of thinking about the trauma I experienced, the wrong was done to me, as more of a different perspective of, wait a minute, this is something that forgiveness allows me to take this, accept this, and use this, and not be broken by it. You know what I'm saying? Not be bitter and angry and broken down by the traumas that you experienced, that we've experienced. But rather, let God use it to grow you. Let God use it to change you and make you more into the men and women that He's designing you to be. So that's the perspective, that's the change of perspective I'd like for us to have about the traumas, and therefore the forgiveness comes a little easier, right? The what's in it for me is you can get rid of all that bitterness and anger by dealing with the forgiveness. Those are some of the stories we heard last night, so I won't go back through them again. But let's look at the Lord's Prayer. Who all knows the Lord's Prayer pretty well? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Daily bread. We forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver us from evil. Okay. Who knows the next two sentences? By the power and the glory. Okay. Who knows the sentences after that? The NIV doesn't have that. Who knows the two sentences after that? Okay, you can look them up. It's in there. I can drink some of my drink here. I need caffeine. I'm really struggling. You guys can be praying for me. I've got a sinus infection, so I'm... I'm not working on a lot of sleep because I can't breathe at night. All right, please, Katie Marie's got it.
For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive their sins.
Yikes! Forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us. Is that really the way in which we want God to forgive us? I pretty much want God to forgive better than I forgive those who trespass against me. I would like for Him to be better at forgiveness than I am. Wouldn't you? That's an interesting verse. What do I get out of forgiving? I get forgiveness. By the same measure I use, so it is measured unto me. Wow. That's just an interesting way in which that concept in Scripture is very interesting, that God says, yeah, I'd be glad to forgive you. How are you doing with the forgiveness thing? And He doesn't say that because I want to withhold forgiveness. He says that because why? Why is unforgiveness so bad for you? What's so bad with unforgiveness? It causes you to be unhappy. Typically, the person that you're not forgiving could care less. Sometimes they don't even know they've wronged you. Sometimes, if they do know, they don't care. And sometimes they did it on purpose because, whatever. Or they're gone. Some people we need to forgive are gone already. Who benefits the most? You do. I do. God doesn't want us carrying that burden. He doesn't want us taking that bitterness around. He says it's mine to revenge. You be nice to people who persecute you. That's a really hard standard. But I think that's what he wants for us. The benefit is for us in terms of our forgiveness. Let's turn to the next piece. I was laying in bed on the last day of our vacation, trying to get a little bit of sleep because, you know, the next day was going to be 17 hours of travel, maybe more, right? Maybe 27 hours of travel. I forget. It was forever. It took forever. And I'm laying there trying to go to sleep, and God says, you know, you really haven't spent a lot of time in the Bible this week while you've been on vacation with Desiree. I'm like, yes, okay, but, you know, I kind of know the Bible a little bit, you know. He said, yeah, but, you know, you should be in it all the time. And I said, okay, what part of it, God, I'm trying to go to sleep here, what part of the Bible, God, do you want me to think about now? And he's like, okay, well, I want you to think about, you know, 1 Peter 5:7. I remember. I get my Bible out. I open it up. What is 1 Peter 5:7? It says, cast all your anxieties on him, or on the Lord, because he cares for you. All this stuff you're worried about, all the stuff you're kind of going through, all the things you're thinking about, you know what? God wants to handle that. He wants to take that. So let him know, because he cares for you. I'm like, okay, that's a good verse, God. I can deal with that. And then the next day, he's doing traveling. God gave me a lot of cool things on some stuff I was thinking about that I shared this weekend as well. But what if I need to start forgiving myself? What if the person who really desperately needs the forgiveness here from you is you? Anybody here ever beat yourself up other than me? Got those voices in your head? This can sometimes be even harder than forgiving somebody that does something to us. Forgiving ourselves. But the Bible's pretty clear about our state when Jesus has forgiven us. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, if you've made Him Lord of your life, and you've accepted that, His payment on the cross is sufficient, totally. Nothing else you need to do. Totally sufficient. Then this is one thing I want you to do. I want you to forget what is behind, and I want you to press on to what is ahead. I don't want you to have the if-only bug, you know. If only I hadn't done this, if only I hadn't done that, or I should do this, or I should do that. These are things we talk about in our wellness workshops that we're going to be offering this month. And so look for the announcements here and find one and come join us at these workshops. They'll help you practically be able to do these types of things. And so God says, hey, let's move forward. You're a new creation in me. I took care of all that. Stop beating yourself up over it. And then there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. If there's no condemnation, then why am I condemning myself? Do you really think that's God? No. Satan is condemning you, causing you to be trapped. This is concept Nick was talking about, the difference between conviction and shame. Conviction is this. Did you do the thing? Let's say you did. Then you're guilty. Conviction is, okay, I'm guilty. God, I accept. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for paying for my sins. I accept your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Because I'm guilty and I need your death on the cross. Thank you. That's conviction. Recognizing that you're guilty and accepting Jesus' forgiveness for you. What is shame? I'm worthless. I'm no good. Yes, that thing, that makes me no good. Jesus won't love me anymore because I did that thing. The guy was a Sicario. He killed people. And Jesus still loves him. What did you do? It's a lie. If you believe God does not love you and doesn't forgive you and can't let you move forward from one of your sins, it is a lie that I don't want you to live in anymore. And neither does God. yes, you need to repent and turn away from and stop doing whatever that thing is. He needs to stop killing people, which I'm pretty sure he is now, which is good. But then he needs to accept God's forgiveness and move on. Otherwise, he's going to be trapped in that guilt and shame. I don't think shame is from God. I really don't. If you're wallowing in, I'm guilty and I just can't forgive myself, that's not from God. And you need to be willing to and able to forgive yourself and say, you know what? I accept God's forgiveness of me. I believe he's true and honest when he forgave me. There's no condemnation now to you. All right. When you start to think about, am I going to forgive somebody who's done something to me? Or am I going to get angry and upset? Your first place of starting ought to be, you know what? I needed forgiveness. I needed forgiveness. And so that ought to be where you start. What do you need to forgive? Are there some people in your life that have done things to you, around you, whatever, that you need to actually take a little bit of time and forgive them? Maybe you tell them, maybe you just do it in your heart, give it over to the Lord. How can God use those events in your life? It's easy to wallow in and be stuck in the past and the trauma. It's bad. I know it. I get it. How can you move forward? We've got something called heart charts that we do. We've got part of our workshops. I think I've done 7 now this week. It's been spectacular. Keep coming. Let's go. Let's do some more. Because God's using them to give people new beliefs and helping them get over the things that they're stuck in. It's a very cool little simple tool. We're going to do this on Wednesday evenings. I think there's an announcement for this after the Bible study for the cadets. By the way, you're out of red phase. Now you can make it to a Bible study. Get your R pass. Come on Wednesdays. Have dinner with us over at Owens at 6 o'clock. But after that, we're going to be doing these heart charts. Anybody wants to do them, that's not a good time for you. You just tell me. I've been doing them anytime, any day. They are so helpful. Can I get an amen? Does anybody here think they're helpful? Yes, yeah, there's a few people who have been through them. They're helpful. I use them for myself. So anyway, how can God use those events to grow you? And is it time? Is it time to forgive yourself? Is it time to move on? Put something behind you. Allow God to take it and own it so you can move forward. Let me pray for you. God, we just want to come to you this morning and thank you so much for your forgiveness of us. We thank you, God, that you love us so desperately. God, we need your help. We need your help to be able to forgive ourselves, to forgive others. I just pray in the name of Jesus, if there's somebody here this morning that needs to go through a heart chart and work through an injury, a hurt, a pain, that God, they would just be willing to step up and ask for the time to do that this week. And God, I pray that you would give us the grace to learn how to forgive ourselves. Because you have forgiven us and made us your children. Help us to live in that and accept that fully. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.